Okay, Revelation chapter 12. And we last time we began looking at the woman, and in this chapter we have the woman, the dragon, and the war. Okay, so pretty interesting chapter, and covers a vast amount of history. But like I say, it's like a series of setup pieces for the very last things that will happen here with the sounding of the seventh trumpet. So as far as kind of keeping our bearings, we had the seven seals, then we have the seven trumpets, which come out of the seventh seal. And that brings us in different expositors and Bible students will come to different conclusions about exactly where this trumpet occurs in Daniel's 70th week, in that seven-year period. Personally, I lean heavily towards the seventh trumpet happening very close to the end of it. Certainly no later than the middle of it. And that would be after the first 3.5 years. But, you know, those are not things we can absolutely prove, and that's probably a good point. That is that we can't be 100% sure of the precise timing of some of these things. There are a number of things we've already seen, and we're going to see some more about timing. In fact, that's what we're going to focus on a little bit today, that are revealed, and those are important. Okay, but other things about this is probably important that we don't, or at least the people who live through it, don't know exactly. Because one of the things that we have in the teaching of Christ about his second coming, even though, like for us, there's nothing that has to happen before Christ comes back at the rapture. Absolutely nothing as far as what the Bibles have revealed. Now, there are things in God's plan, yes, but he hadn't told us about those. So from our standpoint, that could happen at any point. But when you get into the tribulation period in Christ's second advent, that is when he actually lands on planet Earth, there are a whole bunch of things, which we're studying right now, that have to happen before that happens. So that raises the question, would people in that period of time be able to say, well, we can calculate this, and we know it's at least has to be in this month, you know. But not exactly. It's not going to be quite that simple, even though it will be exactly according to time, but there's enough missing where you can't get it down, as Jesus said, to the day and hour. Okay. And so that remains true, even with all that we're told here in the book of Revelation about the things that happened during the seven-year period leading up to Jesus' return to this earth. It's still, there's enough we don't know to leave the exact time open to some question, which it should be. Okay, so, but there are a number of things going on, and there are certain time frames that are important here, and we'll take a look at those. So, I invited you to read over this chapter and see if you could kind of figure out what was happening as far as the timing. We've seen here that the woman that's introduced at the beginning of the chapter here represents very clearly Israel. Okay, nothing else fits. Okay, by process of elimination and a lot of parallels, it's pretty clear. It can't be Mary. Okay, because that won't fit the things that are going to happen to this woman later. It can't be the world as a whole, because that doesn't fit, and it can't be the church, because it wouldn't fit any of the things that were given about the church. The church did not bring Christ into the world. Okay, it just didn't happen. Israel did. Okay, so this is talking, the woman is Israel. That sort of simplifies things as we see this. Okay, then we saw in verse 3 the next key character, and that was the dragon. By the way, the Greek word here is kind of interesting. If we change the Greek letters into English letters, it looks like this. This was a long O. So it looks very similar. And actually, this is the only place, it occurs 12 times in the book of Revelation, and it's the only place in the Bible this word occurs. Interestingly enough. Now, this dragon's clearly identified, okay? We don't have to do any guesswork here, all right? So we know who that's talking about. So anyway, we have the fact that he had this rebellion in heaven. His tail swept away the third part of the stars of heaven. This apparently happened sometime prior to the fall of man. Okay? Best we can figure out. But this would have been Satan's original rebellion, and his rebellion involved other angelic beings as well. Okay. By the way, this is one reason why some people get the impression that that Satan is omnipresent. That is, he can be in more than one place at a time. He can't. Okay. He's limited time and space. He has to run to and fro through the earth, as we read the book of Job. Okay. So, but he gets around. Okay. But on top of that, he has an awful lot of help. So it can look like he's everywhere at once. Right? And so... And some of the help is angelic, and some of it, unfortunately, is human as well. At any rate, so we have in verse 4, Satan is ready to pounce as soon as this male child is born. In verse 5, she gives birth, and it clearly identifies who is the male child. There's can't be any. It has to be Jesus, okay? And he's caught up to God and to his throne, that is, to God's throne. He's not on his throne now. Right. And then it says, the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Okay, when does this happen? Now, here's another place where you find a lot of difference of opinion. But when did the woman flee into the wilderness? Well, some will say, well, this is when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, and then when the Romans finally completely destroyed Israel as a nation in 135 AD. The only problem is, that doesn't fit with the next thing, okay? She flees into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that there she might be nourished for how long? Does that number sound familiar?
42 months.
42 months or? 3.5 years. Okay. Now, if that's talking about, you know, the dispersion of the nation Israel after the destruction of Jerusalem, that's a very long 3.5 years. Okay, so, now that doesn't bother some people because, after all, with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day, blah, 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 you know, it's... That is twisting scripture, okay? All right? All of God's timing and prophecy works out exactly, just like clockwork. That statement about God in relationship to time is talking about, you know, how time relates to God, because he's timeless, you know, it doesn't bother him to wait for 1,000 years. It doesn't bother him to wait for 2,000 years. However, when time's up, okay? Okay. And as far as what has been revealed to us in terms of time frames, it always happens exactly, we saw this with Daniel's 70 weeks, it's right on the noodle. I mean, it just, you know, you could set your atomic clock by it, right? Sort of thing. So that's what we have here. So this 3.5 years, this which goes by several different names, early we saw the two witnesses are to prophesy for this same period of time. Okay? And so this would be, now the question is this this half or this half? Well, it doesn't make much sense that it's this half, the first half. Because during the first half, everything seems to be going just fine. Okay, and we're going to see some other things that help us to pinpoint this. It's referring to the second half of the 7 years, the second 3.5 years of the 3 years. This is the period which Jesus referred to as the Great Tribulation. He doesn't refer to the whole 7 year period as that. Okay, we tend to use the term tribulation to refer to the whole 7 years, but the Bible actually doesn't do that. This term, Great Tribulation, or the Great Tribulation, is always in reference to the last half of this. Okay? So, At any rate, so we have the woman, Israel, is fleeing into some place that's prepared in the wilderness. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But we have a definite time frame here. Now, in verse 7, it says, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. And they," that is, the dragon and his angels, "were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Now, when does that happen? That's an interesting question, okay? Is this a flashback? Is this the next event? Or where does this fit on the time frame, okay? Now, from what we have right here, we couldn't be sure. And as you might expect, there are a number of different views on this, okay? One is that this is referring to Satan's original rebellion. So this is kind of going back to the first thing where it says, where the dragon's tail swept away the third part of the stars of heaven and so on and so forth and cast them to the earth. But if you read carefully, those are very different things. Okay? They're related. Okay? But there's something different here. Because who cast these angels to the earth in verse 4? Yeah. Now, as far as getting thrown to the earth, who throws me to the earth in verse 9?
Satan.
Yeah, Satan himself gets thrown to the earth. And who's doing the throwing?
Michael and his angels.
This is different. Okay. Now, so that raises a question. This is something different. When does it happen? Now, even those who would say, well, this is a different event from verse 4, there's differences of opinion there, okay? Okay, this gets interesting. So we kind of have to look at what the possibilities are and work out the process of elimination. At any rate, we know that happens. Now, when that happens, in verse 10, it says, "I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now.'" What's the now about?
After Satan is thrown out.
Now notice here, there is something different. It says there was no longer any place found for them in heaven. In other words, no more access. Now, after the event of Satan's rebellion, did Satan have access to heaven?
Yes,
we can read about it. We don't have to guess at this. We can read about it in the first part of the book of Job. That's what got Job's troubles going. Okay, he was doing exactly what this talks about. It says, "Now the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, his anointed one, have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." Now notice the tenses there are kind of interesting. Okay, he has been thrown down. The one who accuses them. So this would be an ongoing thing. And verse 11, we sing a song that incorporates the words of this. "They overcame him," that is, the brethren, "overcame the dragon and his accusations because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death." Boy, we could spend a whole lesson right there. But this is a powerful verse. And this is the key to this situation dealing with Satan as I believe it is now. Now, when was Satan cast out of heaven? Now, that is to have no more access. When does this second event take place? Some think that it goes back to when Jesus commissioned the 70 during his lifetime, and when they come back and they report about how they were able to cast out demons and all this sort of thing, they're all excited. And Jesus made an interesting statement. He said, "Behold, I saw Satan falling as lightning from heaven." But is that the same thing as this? Well, you can't be that sure. But he is talking about the fact that Satan, as well as his angels, which is what the 70 we're dealing with, are going to going to be defeated. And he'd been defeated at least once. Okay, but it's not over. So some people see what's referred to here in Satan being cast out of heaven as part of it. Really, it's describing a very long campaign, and that this conflict has been going on for thousands of years, maybe. Okay. Not so sure about that, and I'll show you why. Okay. Now, so it's good news in heaven. It's good news for the believer. He no longer has access to heaven. And verse 12, for this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in it. However, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Now, that's an interesting statement right there. So when this event happens, when you have this war in heaven, and Michael and his angels cast out Satan and his angels, Satan knows that he has only a what?
Short time.
And he knows that. Now, could he have known that, say, for instance, by the way, another view is when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that's when this happened. Okay. But could Satan have known that he only had a short time at that point? Yeah, he might have thought it, but he didn't know it. He knows now.
Well, he was talking to Jesus when Jesus was on earth. Satan was talking to him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they had several.
Tempting.
We know at least one major encounter. Yeah, yeah. And so, but even, you know, after that, with Jesus' death and resurrection, and Jesus talked about it, you know, this is going to seal Satan's fate and so forth, but it's still, Satan had no way of knowing how long it's going to be. He really does know how long it's going to be now. Okay. Basically, I believe he knows he's got how long?
3.5 years.
Okay. For somebody who's been at this for several thousand years, that's not a lot of time. Okay. By the way, he's been practicing. Okay. As the story about the lady up in the mountains who, you know, never said anything bad about anybody, and the young preacher thought, I'm gonna fix this, and he asked her about the devil, and she rocked for a little bit and said, well, he ain't a bit lazy. And he's not. Okay. So he's been practicing, okay? He's had a lot of dress rehearsals down through history. So he intends to be ready. And he knows that the final act, you know, he's got to be ready for this. Okay, so he is. All right? And then you come down to verse 13. And notice some key terms. Now, it may be a little bit different in your translation, but it shouldn't be too different, okay? Verse 13, in my translation, it says, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down. Notice the word when. Anybody have something different? It should be about the same everywhere. Yeah, key word, when. When we're talking about timing, the word when becomes very important, okay? So, when he saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, by the way, he's been doing that for a long time. But the intensity level increases, okay? And now you do have kind of a flashback in verse 14. It goes back to what it said it happened, that the woman fled to a place in the wilderness where she is nourished for 1,260 days. It says, and the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. And what's that referring to? There's a lot of speculation on that, but not enough information to be too sure. But one thing's for sure. She gets out, and she gets out quick. Okay? Okay. But somehow or another, she's enabled to make some serious time here. All right? In order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, same thing, where she was nourished. Now here, it's just slightly different. For how long?
Time,
times, and half a time. Okay? It's a key phrase. It goes back to the book of Daniel. And it we talked about this before. 3.5 can also be expressed as what? Time times and a half time. So we're talking about the same period. Now, it may not be to the day, but it's the same period of time. Okay. So that's the idea here. So twice we're told that she is nourished at this place in the wilderness for this period of time. Now, I put it over here because I had something else over here, but there's no serious doubt in my mind that this is referring to this second 3.5 year period. Okay. And verse 15, the story continues. He didn't give up easy. The serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And we'll come back to the last verse in just a minute. Now, what is going on here? Okay. As you might expect, there are different views. Okay. One thing is for sure. How does Satan feel about Israel? Should we be terribly surprised at what's going on in the world today? No. It's really all part of the same thing. Now, we're not saying it is the same thing, but it's part of the same thing. As we said, Satan's been on the same basic program from the beginning. Okay? You know, and you can look at just any stage in human history, going all the way back to before the flood. He was determined to try to corrupt the human race to prevent God from keeping his promise regarding the seed of the woman. He's been at this for a very long time because he knows that that's his death knell. He knows that's his ultimate defeat. And he didn't go down without a fight. Okay? Okay? Even if he knows he's going down. Okay? Does sin make sense? No. You know, you can't reason people out of sin. Now, you can give people reasons not to sin. And I'm saying you don't reason with people. But the real problem is not reason. It's our pride, our arrogance, our something deeply wrong in our heart. Okay. And anyway, so this attack on Israel is just, you know, part of a long series of things, but this one is particularly focused because, you know, it's kind of thinking, I got them where I want them. And one possibility on where this place in the wilderness is and what happens here is an interesting one. Cannot prove this, okay? And there are a couple of verses in Isaiah and Daniel that seem to kind of hint at this, but this, it doesn't qualify in my mind as anything like proof, but it's interesting. Right? Have you ever heard of the city of Petra? Okay. Have you ever seen pictures of it? What does it look like? Yeah, it's carved into the stone. And is it like this big, broad, green valley?
No.
Yeah, it's basically a canyon. Pretty tight quarters in a whole lot of ways. Right? And interestingly enough, if several things that happened here with this flood deal and the earth opening up. The city of Petra was destroyed by two things, other than general politics. And, it was an amazing fortress. It was practically impossible to attack. Right? But two things did it in. One was a flood. And, in fact, to this day, they have to protect. In fact, it wasn't too long ago. I think it was 60 French tourists wasn't long ago, maybe back in the 60s. I may be getting my numbers mixed up there. But anyway, a substantial number of French tourists in recent history were drowned in Petra by a flash flood. The other thing that destroyed it was an earthquake. It is a geologically unstable area. It's part of the Great Rift Valley, and things get shook up around there. Yeah.
If they wanted to, if they're interested, we watched this program on Nova about Petra. It was on PBS this week, but you can watch it online. We just have to go to Nova and look up the program about Petra. Extremely interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Connected with all we've been studying. Yeah.
Again, we don't know that Petra is the place, but a lot of people have thought there's a good chance, and it could well be the chance. Now, when it talks about...
Isn't Petra in Jordan?
Yes, yes.
Which is also interesting.
It's southeast of the Dead Sea, and out there in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of the desert, and yeah, it's part of Jordan. And its original name was Sela, and it was the capital of Edom, which was Esau's descendants. I won't get into all the history. The Nabataeans really built it. There was a neighboring Arab group, but what? Anyway, but point is, the place is still there. Anyway, now the flood here could also refer to an army. It's very common imagery in Scripture to use a flood as an overwhelming, to represent an overwhelming military force. So that's a possibility here too, as well as an actual flood of water. But, you know, whatever. Two things are really important. Satan will not give up, because you read in verse 17, even though he's fooled here, he says, okay, I'll go get the rest of them. Okay. And things start to get really hot everywhere else. Okay, so he does not give up. He hates Israel. He's bent at whatever cost to thwart God's plans and purposes with Israel, to keep God from keeping his promise. Okay. The other thing is, God keeps his promise, and he will not forsake Israel. No matter how much they mess up, no matter how improbable it might seem, no matter what Satan throws at it, Satan is defeated, he cannot win, and God will not fail. He will keep his promises. And that's the most important thing to remember about all this. He's faithful to his own, and we have a lot to be thankful for if you're on the right side. If you're not, it might look good for a while, but not going to be good one day. So, anyway, so that's chapter 12. Next time, we get into the zoo. Okay.
Is it right. Saying that Israel just up and goes to Petra? I mean, the entire population?
Well, not the entire, not because there are other Jews. That's where he talks, you know, dragons going to make war with others. But a large percentage, apparently, of those Israelites living in Palestine at that time seems to be, because when the Antichrist breaks his treaty, we're going to come to this later, when he breaks his treaty, it completely changes from being Israel's ally to being their enemy, and violent persecution breaks out. In fact, he becomes everybody's enemy. We'll get into that. But it's at this point when, and by the way, Jesus talked about this in the Olivet Discourse, and gave him a warning, which is the mark of this middle point. When you see that happening, let those in Jerusalem flee. Don't pick anything up. You just forget everything else and get out of Dodge or Jerusalem. Right? So that's what he was talking about. And it's when the key event that marks this midpoint. So that's another reason why this has to be the second 3.5 years here.
That's the point of the abomination and desolation.
That's it. Yeah. We're going to get into that a little bit more when we get to the zoo. Okay. We've got to quit. Okay. Who'd like to close in prayer?
Son? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. I thank you for David sharing with us. And Lord, I just thank you that you have provided a way for us to be on the victorious side. And I pray now that you would be with us this week. Help us to live for you, to share the good news. Pray that you'll be with those who are singing this morning, and you and Pastor Philip, that our service might honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.